order of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code CANYON.
All right, time to start using finger puppets and crayons to explain why self-defense is a good thing. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
I was recently asked, what is the mission statement for your show? How do you describe the Kate Daly Show? It honestly took me a minute before I could even come up with an answer, because this show is not like any other conservative talk show out there. This show is so different, but it has to be. It's not about propping up one party and blaming the other on a daily basis. It's about getting to the truth, the uncomfortable truth. I'm on this journey to cut through the propaganda that we've been fed and to uncover the truth about our world and our government and what's been going on. Is this show controversial? Yes. You will not leave this show every day without having learned something important or even valuable about how we view the world. We have to say what isn't being said out loud. And in order to do that, we have to check our fear and our political correctness at the door. We get to have over 400 guests a year that visit the show. I have 9 incredible co-hosts that come and join me on a daily basis with a different point of view every single day. We have to get our country back. We have to. We are running out of time. Let's do this.
That is the truth. That's how I feel, 100%. I stand behind it. Welcome back. And grateful for whatever vehicle you're using to listen to the show. Thank your local station for airing this show. Please call them, thank them. Please do that for me and for Uncle Milty. We would surely appreciate it because, you know, it's a lot of good people out there that want the truth to be told and want people out on the radio to bring things up that get people thinking and they get a lot of kudos. Please thank them for carrying the show. And if you don't have it on your local dial, by all means, call them and request it. Let's get your show back, you know, into your community. Wow, so much to say. Welcome back. We were just kind of thinking about D-Day a little bit, and you made a statement a while ago. What was that statement? Because it's so true to reflect on that statement today. And
well,
I don't know if people grasped what you were saying.
It was when the president was being chastised for saying that the southern border issue was an invasion. And I said at the time, I said, you know, it's not going to be long, whereas many people are coming across that southern border in a month illegally as the number of soldiers that invaded Normandy on D-Day.
You're right.
And we're there.
140,000.
We're there.
139,000 invasion at Normandy, and then, of course, 140,000 in a single month.
Yep.
But it's not an invasion.
Not an invasion.
See, when Trump says stuff like that, he is... It's an anti-deep state statement because it gets people thinking and people, of course, want the wall. We've wanted the wall for a long time. And this is an invasion in our own country, yet we're slow to respond. It's like that liner. What was that liner that I have? Where is it? Oh, there it is. Let me play this.
Never before in history did we have to fight with our own country for the security of our own country.
There you go. So here's the deal with that. I don't know what Trump is doing. He's got a lot of different kinds of decisions being made. I don't agree with what he's doing in Iran. He's all over the map. I'm not quite sure what's happening. But at the end of the day, it really even doesn't matter. Because what matters is we still need a wall. We still have diagnosed a very severe problem in our nation, and we still, even if the whole, if your whole goal is to say Trump is Satan, Trump is evil, that doesn't do anything. In fact, let's start calling out all the people involved to make it so we don't actually have the wall. So I'm glad that he voiced the word invasion, because it's very anti-deep state. Whether he follows through with that or not, or whether he can, two totally different questions, completely different. Now with two more hours of the show. But for the sake of argument, he brought out a lot of stuff that no person running for office ever did.
That's
and
right.
I think that needs to get some kudos for even saying it, because in this day and age, you even say it, you're Arkansided. You're gone. And you have to give props for that. Now, I don't know where that leads. If it doesn't lead to anything we wanted to have happen, We got a whole other set of problems, but he's not the only one involved. There's a lot of people involved. So,
and that's really the issue when it mm-hmm. comes to President Trump. Mm-hmm. It's not like he has a Congress behind him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he has bureaucracies behind them.
No, you gotta
fight it all. Everyone is against him.
Yeah.
Imagine how much information gets hidden from him.
Mm-hmm.
I believe a lot of his advisors give him intentionally bad information.
There's a sector of people that say he throws stuff out as disinformation. He throws stuff out there so they think that he's on our side, right? You know, there's that kind of mentality going too. The problem with that is that in a couple of years, or oh gosh, heaven forbid, in a year, we get the liberal progressive president, because you know what's coming next. Remember, Team A, Team B, they put in Team A, Team
mm-hmm.
B. You're not going to have that, and we're still going to be in the same pickle. So whether he voices that or he doesn't voice it, you either get it done or you don't get it done. That isn't the biggest caveat, but it is telling about the fact that they will say something. And maybe that's true. Maybe at the end of the day, we're all snowed, and he's the biggest deep state actor we've ever had in our entire friggin' life. And we are just so snowed and appalled about how dumb we were and how snowed we are.
Yep.
We still have a Congress that we have to talk about because it doesn't all rest on him. So we still have a Congress. We still have a Senate. We still have all these jokers in office that are bought and paid for. And they really are truly where the attention needs to be anyway. So I don't really care what it is. We still have to talk about these things in context.
But the progressives talk about the president as if he's already put Congress in prison and he's a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening.
No, they just wanted to hate him. They just wanted to hate on somebody, and he was there. That was the choice. That was the soup du jour. So, you know, and they'll keep on this whole narrative with the impeachment and everything else. And it's a total joke.
Mm-hmm.
TSA is allowing undocumented people, as the left likes to call them, you know, people that are here illegally to fly. I'm sorry, I can't even get a can of hairspray through TSA, and people can fly without any documentation. They act like they're the Gestapo when I go through. The TSA is allowing people undocumented, no papers at all, to fly.
But not American
citizens.
I have
to show a license. I have to show that I'm a citizen. I'm not let through TSA without that. Come on. Mexico said that they're holding 250,000 people back because of the tariffs. Like, na-na-na-na-na-na. You know what is so funny? They're showing their hand. They could hold them all back is really what they're proving in neon lights. I mean, they could hold them all. Only a segment? That's it? 250,000? I mean, it's so funny that they're coming out and using that as a bargaining chip. That isn't a bargaining chip. They're showing that they can hold everybody back, and they choose not to. Ridiculous. And the D-Day numbers, storming Normandy, the same amount that we get in 1 month. That's an invasion. We have people coming into this country right and left. And yes, you can have sovereign borders and still be... And love your country and vet people legally. Yes, you can do that. To all the libertarians listening, yes, you can still vet people and let them in. But you have to vet them.
I'm really ticked off about this TSA deal.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go buy a plane ticket.
Are you?
And I'm going to go through the TSA checkpoint to get on my flight, and I'm going to go without ID, and I'm going to tell them I'm an illegal alien.
Yeah. Bring a bottle of hairspray. Yeah. We'll see if you get through with that, too. Please, just to prove a point.
No, I'm an illegal alien. You can't ask me for ID.
No, it's very interesting what they're doing. They're allowing illegal migrants to fly without proper documentation.
Yep.
And for the past 6 months, the Transportation Security Administration, the TSA, has allowed migrants, even released from custody, to other Homeland Security agencies to board flights to other parts of the country, despite the passengers lacking any of the 15 documents. It states as the only, and that's our beef with it, is that we have an only acceptable form of identification that, I guess, if you're not here legally, you don't have to abide by it, but the citizen must. Something's wrong with that. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
I was listening to a guy on the radio the other day,
mm-hmm.
and he was going through the benefits the illegal aliens get.
You know, I can't understand.
I was keeping track in my head, and he got up to almost $2,000 a month.
Yeah. I don't know. Interesting.
Well, am I out of the room?
I'm only getting half. Wait, caller. I'm so sorry. I was only getting half about what you were saying.
Yeah, I couldn't make out half of what he was saying.
Yeah, I only got half the words.
He needs
to
call back and get a better line.
Yeah. 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. I do try and take as many calls as I can during the show. We also have so much info to get to, too. It gets kind of crazy. I apologize. The issue with this, it really is very telling about the courtesies granted and the courtesies not granted to the citizen. We're citizens of this country. I feel like I'm going through the fondling Gestapo line when I'm at the airport. It's ridiculous. I feel violated every time I go.
The article says TSA was unaware initially which documents its security officers required for migrants to board flights.
How about the same ones that we have to have?
What?
This is easy. TSA, if you're listening, let me spell it out. This is easy stuff. You just have everybody have to show the right one.
Yeah.
And truly, truly, you shouldn't even be doing that. And it's unconstitutional to actually have search and seizure as you're just boarding a plane without any sort of warrant, without any due process at all. But we subject ourselves to it because we like to fly. I could do a whole show. On TSA, but it just drives me crazy. It really does that we have to subject ourselves to that. And yeah, I guess I could drive, but it's what's sad is that they get away with it. And you know what? They've been getting away with it since 2001, and we all allowed it, and we never knew it would go two decades. And now they can violate their own rules that they are such sticklers about. People have gone home from flights because they couldn't get on because they didn't have their proper identification and were turned away at the door. I know people that actually had to go back home, and they missed their flight. Mm-hmm. They were completely screwed out of a flight because they didn't have it. So we can't always have all of these other sets of rules. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like they're making a lot of different sets of rules for people right now, and especially on those coming over the border, and I'm not okay with that.
We're a nation of laws.
Yeah.
You just have to find out which ones apply to you.
Yeah. So true. So true. And for those that say, because one of the only beefs I have with libertarians is on this issue, actually. Because we do allow, we do vet, and many people come every single year, courtesy of the good old USA, by vetting. Now, we could make that system a little different, but we vet, and you can do that, and that there's nothing wrong with that. So they act like we've closed the doors and we won't let anyone else in that has a hardship or would like to come to the country. That's just not true. Be right back, Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
You see the same old thing. Ain't no food upon a table.
Hi there, welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Happy to be here. And I will take your calls, 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450, a little midnight special for you. Never hurt anyone. And so I love some of my 70s music. And anyway, welcome back. Go to katedalyradio.com for the podcast. And you can email me, kate@katedalyradio.com. Happy to take those emails from you. And I love the guest request, too. That's why we had a guest request for Colonel Doug McGregor, who's coming on the show tomorrow to talk about Syria and Iran. And with his background, man, he's been on Tucker. He's been on all the shows, every single one. I don't think there's a show he hasn't been on. And he's going to share some of his expertise with us. And I'm always all ears. I want to hear what everybody has to say. We were just talking a little bit about D-Day, and Matt Walsh wrote a piece about toxic masculinity and how toxic masculinity got us there. And I was going to share this story with you. This was John McHugh. He describes the Normandy invasion as being hell on earth. 95 years old right now. We are losing that generation. I mean, they're almost gone, and it makes me so sad. I'll play just a little bit of this. This was actually him talking on Fox News. I'm not the hugest fan of Fox News, if you've gathered. Sometimes they can tell a correct narrative, and on this, I think they do well. On things like this, they think they do pretty good. So I'll play it. Here you go.
in his landing craft. And as they tried to get to shore, a German shell blew up the boat behind them. Corporal McHugh was carrying a tripod for a 30-caliber machine gun. But along with the tripod goes the actual 30-caliber machine gun. And the soldier who was carrying that died. So Corporal McHugh had to crawl along that beach without any gun at all while the Nazis fired at him all day. On day two of the invasion, Corporal McHugh says that the Allies faced enormous hedgerows, and they had no way of knowing if the enemy was behind them. There was just so many obstacles to overcome in a long and bloody push toward Germany. After it surviving the invasion of Normandy, Corporal McHugh spent months fighting the Nazis in other historic battles, including the Battle of the Bulge. He earned several medals and awards, including the Silver Star for gallantry in action, the Bronze Star for meritorious service, the European Theater of Operations ribbon that includes a silver arrow, or arrowhead, I should say, for the Normandy invasion, two presidential unit citations, and the Combat Infantry Badge. After the Allies triumphed in 1945, Corporal McHugh came home to New York and married his childhood sweetheart, Rosie McGee. The couple has three children, three grandchildren, seven great-grandchildren. He's a first-generation Irish-American. His family says Corporal McHugh has a beautiful Irish tenor voice, and they still ask him to sing Danny Boy on special occasions. And he's with us now on set, a member of America's greatest generation, Corporal John McHugh. Welcome.
All right, good. Very good.
We honor you today, sir. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for asking. This is wonderful.
Do you? My father is not a brand new guy. He's like 91 plus, and he doesn't have a lot of memories from that time. Tell me your memories of this day in back then.
Well, D-Day was a. You really can't describe D-Day. You're petrified. You're absolutely petrified. A guy falling over there. A guy falling over there. It's hell. It's just hell on earth. I can't describe it anyways. I don't think anyone can really describe it. Needless to say, I had a bad day.
You had no gun. How did you survive with no gun?
Well, I had my pistol. But what, you know, nothing to shoot. You can't see them. I just kept crawling up. See how far we could go.
And as you crawled along the beach, what were you seeing and hearing?
A lot of dead bodies.
A lot of dead bodies.
A lot of dead bodies. But you just keep going up. That's all. Gotta keep moving. But there were a lot of dead bodies.
Wow. He goes on to tell that story. I'll include that link on the Kate Daly Show page on Facebook. He was tearing up, and tears were falling. And, you know, I look at the fortitude of those men to get through that. Do our young guys have that same thing? Can they get through stuff?
I don't know about that.
I don't either. When we had that caller say they would thank the parents that raised these kids, I'm with you. I'm with you, caller. I feel the same way. Nowadays, we call it toxic masculinity, and it's really unfortunate that we're doing that, and it's really sad because these guys were brave. I could do a whole show about what was behind that war, what the administrations knew. You know, we've done it. We've done many, many shows in the 6,000 hours plus of this program over the years. But let me say this. The bravery that they had to show consistently throughout this event, that deserves everything. Everything. Doesn't matter what the administration decisions were. It doesn't matter who funded. It doesn't matter what was going on behind the scenes. They still had to be brave. They still had to show up and do that. I can't even imagine. My own grandfather was actually on a ship that was actually on their break when Pearl Harbor hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had several uncles that were in the Pacific during that war.
It's...
There was an interview today of a young man who was in Graves Registration who landed on D-Day. And his job was to every day pick up the dead.
I can't imagine. I just can't, at that age, doing that.
No.
We coddle these kids. They live in our basements. We coddle them to the next job and hope they don't break a fingernail. These guys, look what they did and went through. It's unfathomable.
He said when he went through the training, he didn't understand what Graves Registration was.
Mm-hmm.
But they told him, if you make it through the three-day training, that's what you'll be doing. And they showed him an autopsy, all kinds of gore, to see if he could handle the gore.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was the only one in his class that successfully completed it and went into Graves Registration in that class.
I just can't even think. It's hard to imagine. It's really hard to imagine. And then look at the things we talk about today. It was Matt Walsh writes, it was one of the most impressive military campaigns the world has ever seen. The Allies, of course, did not win the war simply by taking Normandy, but they did turn the tide, forcing Hitler to fight on two fronts. Again, against the Soviets in the east and the Americans and British in the west. And so less than a year later, Hitler would shoot himself in the bunker in Berlin. Now, I've done shows on probably every word of that sentence in different contexts for the show. But he says this about these soldiers. He said, put yourself in the boots of these men for one moment today. Imagine crouching in one of those landing crafts, jostling up and down from the breaking waves, listening to the rapid pops and bangs of machine guns and grenade launchers, knowing that you will be charging into that hell, not running from it. The moment the door opens and the whistle blows, imagine jumping into that water and trudging through the sand as your friends next to you get blown to bits all around you. And then imagine fighting these Nazis, not just someone whose opinion you find disagreeable, but somebody that wants to kill you. The real fighting, not an angry tweet or a hashtag campaign, not the computer warrior. I'm talking about somebody that's an actual warrior. That's trying to fight this. Imagine sailing across an ocean to die for someone else's freedom. There is much that can be said about the men who entered the war with a bang, with many bangs, on this day, three quarters of a century ago. But one thing we must surely say about them is that they were men, real men, men who did what men must do and only what men can do. And I applaud loudly and completely agree with that statement. Men who showed us then and still show us today what it means to be a man. Amen, Matt Walsh. I was listening to somebody that's going to be on the show soon. She's the guru, the relationship expert. And she said what people don't also understand about men is that men long to commit. Men long to just provide and take care. Men want to be there to do that for their families. Men are, they're not just simple, they're direct, and they also live to protect and love and care for the individuals under their jurisdiction of a family. And I thought about that. I thought about that because I thought, you know, we, as much as we women feel like we need to be revered and we need this and we need that, we need to turn around and do that for each other and revere these men. When he wrote this piece about toxic masculinity, he was really saying, look what we're trying to turn men into. Look what we're doing in this society. Don't let this happen. And I agree with him. Don't let that happen. I think a good man is worth his salt. A good man is everything. And here's a woman saying that, because you know me, I'm not into the whole woman power thing. I think it's asinine and ridiculous. But to you men out there that have done nothing but supply and provide and worry about your families, to you men out there who have done nothing but just love your families and tiptoe around your wives when they're angry and go off to work every day, I thank you for that. Thank you. And what a great, wonderful gift we have. We just need to honor each other is really what it is. Because mutual respect is mutual respect. So when he was talking about real men, he was talking about the qualities that make up a real man. And those men on D-Day, they were real men. They had to be. They didn't even have a choice. They couldn't go the other way. Can you imagine being forced and saying, you've got to run into this total hell nightmare? And so I don't see a bunch of women doing that, but I do see a bunch of men doing that and doing what they were called to do in that situation. And my heart goes out to them. All the respect in the world goes out to them. I really can't say it enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. And I wish these women Nazis with the pink hat and the combat boots and their nasty attitude and hateful looks on their face would finally pull their head out and realize what a gift it is. And I wish they don't get it. I always feel like they just don't get it. So I love what makes a man. And there are a lot of women out there, guys, that appreciate you for being you. So I don't know.
How did things get so twisted?
I don't know. But you know what? We don't have to let it. That's the thing. We don't have to let it. And so we need to be talking about this and thinking about this and saying, what are these few Nazi-style women out there, these crazies, doing? And don't let them do it. Don't let them take the narrative. They don't have to. No. We can.
We need to be just as willing to speak out as they are.
Yeah. Women are great, and so are men. Isn't that amazing? Yep. One isn't better than the other. We just have special, really, really special gifts. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Seen this movie?
The Longest Day.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it.
One of the greatest D-Day movies ever.
I don't know why I haven't.
John Wayne's even
it. I know. I need to check it out. I like John Wayne.
It's on tonight.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I have and I don't remember it, but I gotta check it out. Welcome back. Also the day Bobby Kennedy was taken out too, murdered. A lot of things this month for some reason, isn't it? Like even this week, a lot of events in history. And D-Day certainly, anyway, you know how I'll feel. You know how I feel. We have to bring this up because this is so funny. I many times on the show over the course of the years, people have said this, but now we finally have this happening, and I'm actually pleasantly surprised. It put a smile on my face to think that they might actually do this. And what is it in Boston?
Yeah, I'm gonna go if they haven't.
What is it? It's the straight.
They're applying for a permit for a straight pride parade.
A pride parade about being heterosexual.
Yes.
Well, I got to give it to him. You know, we've joked around for a long time about this, and because the Pride Parade just always seemed really kind of a strange parade to me, and now they're doing a heterosexual version.
Yeah.
What do we put on a float? Like a minivan, power tools? I mean, what's in the parade? Because the Pride Parade has all of the let's be as obnoxiously strange and as weird and as just downright ew as we possibly can be. So what is
it's going to be the most boring parade you've ever seen.
The most boring parade.
It's going to be a bunch of couples walking down the street holding hands.
Hey, I like it. I'm good with that. I'm actually fine with that. Should they have one?
Absolutely. Do you know how many there have been since the LGBT movement got there?
No, have they done them?
No, never.
I was going to say, I haven't heard of any.
You know, this is what's exciting.
Yeah.
In the last two decades, no one would have even dared say this.
I know. But you know what? They're getting a lot of kickback now because they've gotten to the point where they make now what? Officers... they can't come ununiformed. I think it is they have to be uniformed,
uh-huh.
Right? And they're putting so many stipulations on their parades, and they're putting out all of this political correctness that everybody else has to abide by. And so You know what? More power to them. If it's the most boring parade on earth, good. We need a little boring. We've had the crazy, crazy, weird parades, and they really do. It's like as weird as you could possibly make yourself out to be, or as, what is the word, just out there and just kind of in-your-face sexuality. You know what? Let's have something else. Why not? Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to say this really affected me, this D-Day celebration, because this is probably the last one we're going to have. Those people are pretty old now.
Yeah, I know.
And
yeah.
It's like, this is it. We need to remember what they did and what things were like then. I mean, I was impressed. President Trump actually mentioned God.
Yeah,
he did. I haven't heard God mentioned in a long, long time. Politicians haven't said it. You would think it was a swear word. It just... And he was not ashamed.
No, he was not ashamed.
He gave a great
speech. Yeah.
I thought, why are we ashamed of knowing God? Why are we ashamed of that?
I don't know, but we need to get out. We need to get out of that school of thought.
And another thing, they talk about somebody who's straight. And they're, do you realize how many people have done heroic things, that are never talked about?
Yeah.
Well, you know, if a tree falls to the ground, nobody hears it. Did it really fall? Yes, it did. And because the press doesn't mention it, because they don't make a big deal out of it, doesn't mean it isn't important. For example, let's take the guy that stays, the man and woman that stays married.
Right.
You think there are times when they didn't want to give up?
Of course. I'm
out of here. I'm walking out of here.
Of course.
Well, what did it mean to their children?
You're right.
That
the
they stayed married. It was really important. Does anybody talk about it?
Nope.
Well, not publicly.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad you
called. Maybe they should
in.
Say something about it. And there are a lot of other things that married people do that people don't talk about.
I totally agree with you. Thank you for that. Really and truly, thank you. And I agree. I agree. It's the unsung. It's the acts that say I'm putting other people ahead of myself and all of those types of things. And that's the kind of behavior I see. And we're all good. There's good women and good men. And we all truly, I get what's being said there. It's other people get the limelight.
Yeah.
And in those parades, I'm not sure. It is a parade. It's not even about sexuality. It's about being as weird as you could possibly be.
That's right.
Right? And it's a kind of a strange parade. Sorry if you like that parade. I don't. I just think why? What's the point?
It just gives you the general attitude that they just enjoy rubbing everyone's nose in it.
Well, and that's clearly it. Is that I think if I were to gather that most of you out there, if you're heterosexual, all you want to do is say, it's just sexuality. Just keep it in your pants and keep it in your bedroom. Nobody wants to know. But the sector of people want it out there and out there and out there and in your face and in your face. That's what we have a problem with. We're not hating on the people. We're saying, just keep it private. It's okay to keep it private. We're all good here. Just like we don't shove it in people's faces.
That's right.
You know, that's why the parade would be very boring, because we really don't. It's pretty, you know, just
that's
there's that, work and there's friends and there's other things besides your sexuality. It isn't everything. Very true.
And it probably won't happen.
You don't think so?
I know, because really, why? I think just saying it, it says it all.
Yeah.
Being able to say, hey, we want to have a straight pride parade.
And then see how much pushback comes from it.
Yeah. Let them all now shoot off their mouths about how rotten that is.
Yeah.
Well, why is that rotten? Mm-hmm. If you can do a gay pride parade and dress up like transvestite hookers and walk down the street half naked. And,
yeah, or naked. Then why can't other people?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's taking back that narrative, you know, that it's not either extreme. It isn't.
No, it's not the extreme. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
It's the norm.
Right.
Did I say normal?
I know. You're not allowed to in this day and age. I know. I think sometimes people take what we say so harshly. And I always want to say, you know, buck up, buttercup.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. I mean, I would hope that other people are thinking the same things we are, because I feel like sometimes we're treading on thin, because you know sound bites and you know how people can take one sentence and run with it and it becomes a thing. And I'm always aware of that. But at the end of the day, don't you just want to say what's on your mind and not have to worry about somebody's, you know, living in the land of butthurt, you know, the hurt feelings, although I might hurt somebody's feelings. You know, I'm not being rude. I'm just saying how I feel.
You know why I don't worry about that?
Why?
Because I have heard so many times, you're only saying what everybody else is thinking. I've heard that so many times in my life that nothing, you know, I'm not afraid anymore to say anything.
Yeah, we got to get out of that mindset.
And, speak out.
Yeah, I think so too. I really do. And I think we're missing something by not doing it. The Baltimore mayor that was proposing settling street disputes with your boxing rather than guns. We have a lot of people in government that are nuts. I just wanted to point that out. Kind of like a mini PSA. We have a lot of people in government, and they're crazy.
Well,
they're crazy.
You know what, though?
What?
When I was a kid, if you had a dispute with somebody, you were allowed to go down to the gym and put on boxing gloves and duke it out.
Oh, sure. People still do today, though. I mean, it's not like you're, I mean, that's
fine. No, but kids anymore are told no fighting, no defense.
I see what your point is.
So maybe if people felt like, okay, I can duke it out with this guy, they wouldn't be so quick to run and grab a gun to settle their issues. So it might not be a bad idea. I don't necessarily
He's just doing it to forego. He's doing it to bolster up his gun control message. It's just ridiculous. But that's, you know what? That's how people... I'm always open to ideas. It's just that when I know that they're squarely in the face for gun control, then I have a problem with
it. Well, yeah. That's not what it should be about. It should be legitimately, look, you can defend yourself. Don't be afraid to defend yourself.
It's true. A couple of things today. Trump signed the right to try legislation on experimental medicines.
Excellent.
You have to be half dead to do it. But hey, it's a step in the direction of your personal freedom to choose how you want to deal with your illness or disease or whatever it is.
Well, yeah, it has to be your last hope.
Yeah.
I mean, everything else has failed. This is all there is.
Which is kind of ridiculous, don't you think? But at least it's a step in the right direction. I'll take a step at this point for that.
Yeah. I don't think I'd go that far.
What?
To try experimental.
No?
Yeah. I don't.
I would actually do the kind of the tried and true methods. We talked about them on the show. Yeah. I think there's a lot to that that doesn't get talked about. So... I've done a lot of homework and research. We've had wonderful people on the show through the years talking about different things that they do, and I'm open. I'm definitely open. I did want to mention, we mentioned just briefly, but I did want to mention that, yes, there were several, this is strange. Down in Fiji, they had a couple of deaths, really strange, respiratory, dead within like 24 hours, right? 48 hours. Down at a resort in Fiji, three people now dead. And then also we had a couple of murders. And these murders were of the state senator who was investigating like a CPS type of type of crimes.
Yeah,
Colin Smith's. And she was discovered wrapped in a blanket. And a lot of people are sort of putting out there, you know, what really happened in this.
They're not calling it a suicide.
No.
They're calling it a murder.
Yeah. And there was another one, too. Same state, Arkansas as well. And she was a state senator between 2014 and 2018, and she was ringing the alarm bells, from what I hear, on trafficking in kids and within the system and so forth. So I wanted to throw that out there at you. You can do, you know, obviously I'm sure you've already done some homework on this or you've looked at this, but a lot of weird goings-on right now. And the three dead in Fiji, that was strange. What is that? Is that a cover-up of some murders going on? They don't want they still want the tourism? Or is there really something attacking people's respiratory? I don't know. But it'd be interesting to find out what in the world's going on down there. So little bits and pieces in the news today, just not really with any kind of conclusion, basically just throwing a lot of stuff out there in that regard. But kind of strange, right? Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out. 888-673-1450. We were talking about illegals for a little bit in this hour. I just wanted to mention they're saying over 1 million for this year will be coming into the country illegally.
Oh, good.
So a million people, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. We're not talking 10,000. A million, think about that number.
It's an army.
People.
It's an army.
It is an army.
I think I've said that before.
Yes, you have, actually.
You know, so. I think about that. What if they just decided to pick up arms against us?
Jeez. Yeah. Yeah. There's so many now. It needs to be addressed. You can't just put your head in the sand and just pretend like we're all, you know. It's a small world, after all, and pretend that it's not going on. So, because I have a problem with that. Of course, the headlines are trying to say that the private border wall is not working. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. When I look through headlines, I'm just shaking my head because the narrative is so strong. But they're trying to put it out there that that's the case. It's not going to work. And of course, how can it? And it's failing. I actually don't think so at all. And I do think people need to stand up for that and say, you know what? When people want to get together and they want to do that, then it's our country, too. I mean, if Congress won't, then if Congress on both sides of the aisle won't do it, then we make it happen, right? Mm-hmm. Aren't we an industrious people?
We try to be.
That's exactly right. So many anniversaries this week that are just hard anniversaries to take, aren't they, in our history? But remembering all of them, we talked about a couple of them yesterday and of course, again today. Tomorrow I have Colonel Doug McGregor on the show, and I expect your calls tomorrow, too, as we get through some great information as well and some education. Be faithful, be fearless. Thank you, Uncle Milty, and see you back here tomorrow.
You've transformed your outdoor space into a custom paradise, but then summer hits, and it's too hot to enjoy it. Well, no more. Call Mr. Fog and enhance your outdoor space with a high-quality misting system. A misting system installed by Mr. Fog can decrease the temperature by 20 degrees. Take advantage of the beautiful...